Ovation in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Moyne will try a long hit. What a goal from Moyne! This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into Soccer Matters on the Horn, presented by the Daspit Law Firm, 512-865-6710, bilingual, DaspitLawAustin.com. Yes, this is the fastest, hard-hitting hour of soccer talk on the planet, and it is also self-proclaimed. Streaming at hornfm.com, that's where you get the podcast of all of our programs on the Horn. A couple of great guests here tonight on the show. If there are soccer coaches out there, whether you're a youth coach, college, professional, tonight I will air part of a very, very interesting interview with Fabian Hurtzeller. And you're saying, well, who is he? Well, he's the head coach of FC St. Pauli in Germany in the Bundesliga 2. He took the job over as a 30-year-old coach. He was born in Texas. They have won 8 straight games. He was in the youth system at Bayern Munich. But you listen to this interview, it's hard to think you're talking to a 30-year-old who's at this phase of a coaching career. So I hope you enjoy that one tonight here. The full interview will air tomorrow in Houston. Also on the show tonight, Zach Graham of At North End Podcast. I like giving people an opportunity to come on the show. I don't know Zach. I'm looking forward to talking to Zach, though. And At North End Podcast, Zach Graham will come on to talk Austin FC. Again, the call-in number tonight is 512-447-3776, 512-447-ESPN. So let's get your takes tonight on Austin FC's loss at Houston. That one's got to be painful. For Houston, they needed something. They were 0-2 going into this one. It was their home opener. They hadn't played in 2 weeks, whereas this was the fourth game in 2 weeks for Austin FC. Now, we can condition this any way we want. We can say, oh, they were fatigued, no panic. We can get into a little bit of a crisis mode. I've seen a lot of mixed reaction from Austin FC fans. I've even seen some saying Josh Wolf out, which is pretty stunning to me. But this is natural. But for some, it's crisis mode. For others, it's playing it cool. And honestly, really, how panicked can you get at this stage when you know you have 18 teams that make the playoffs and you have time to identify and correct problems? Let's be honest. 512-447-3776. Somebody give me a take tonight. Now, that said, we are conditioned. And what's the point of playing if we aren't allowed to be conditioned to take the temperature based on the most recent performance? And this was not good for Austin FC, who were outplayed, to be fair. Came in. They did look ragged as the game went on. The Dynamo were the better soccer team on this night, in my humble opinion. I know that may hurt. In almost all categories, they were the better team after the first 20 minutes. Now, the first 20 minutes, Austin came out flying. And Gallagher, Rigoni were causing real problems for the Dynamo left back, Tate Schmidt. They were forcing Amin Bassi to defend. I think they score in the first 20 minutes. Things can be different on this night. So how concerned are you? What are your thoughts on the match? 512-447-3776. And again, for those that traveled to Houston, what a great job from the Austin FC supporters. I mean, you helped to make that a fantastic opening game. Let's get your thoughts of being on the road in the match. I think it was 4 buses that went up there. Fantastic. What are your key issues from the match? Top players from the match? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, you'll get a few opinions from me on the game and on specific players as well. I mean, it's obvious Hector Herrera was on another level than anybody on this night, including Sebastian Driussi, who was kind of ghost-like in this one. But Herrera, that was his best performance for the Houston Dynamo, scored his first Major League Soccer goal, and there is pressure on him to produce and lead as a designated player. That said, Sebastian Driussi, Hector Herrera, they can't do it by themselves. And we heard Josh Wolf say that in the post-game press conference, and There are some performances that aren't in the same place as they were last year. But as I said, 18 out of 29 teams make the playoffs. Okay, think about that. All right, speaking of key games, there were a lot of Clasicos around the world this weekend. By the way, you want to hit me up on Twitter during the show, at GlenDavisSoc or at SoccerMattersGD. If you have questions or you debate anything that I've said, please, at GlenDavisSoc or at SoccerMattersGD, okay? Would love your interaction there. Would love for you to follow us and keep things going here. All right, so let's go to some of the Clasicos that were this weekend, and there were a bunch of them. Rayados defeated Tigres at the Estadio Universitario. All right, so as people in Austin, as people in Houston, in Texas, we all know there's tons of Monterrey fans, whether they're Rayados fans or Tigres fans. Luis Romo, 68th minute, was the game winner. It was the difference. Tigres then would throw on a number of attackers. Diego Lainez came on after coming back over to Liga MX. Francisco Cordova, Nico Lopez, they tried to change things. Data-wise, they had 61% of the possession, Tigres. Outshot Rayados 15-13, 8 shots on goal to 2. Remember, Tigres recently put Orlando City out in the CONCACAF Champions League. In the 85th minute, Gignac went off the crossbar, but maybe the biggest rivalry in this part of the world. Tigres and Rayados. Beautiful one. Club America, 4-2 over Chivas. Pretty much a beatdown here. Uruguayan and former Cruz Azul. Remember Jonathan Rodriguez from his day at Cruz Azul? Well, he started the scoring in the blowout. 16th minute for him. He hits again in the 38th. So he scores two goals in the first 38 minutes. After this, it was chasing the game for Chivas at home. And, by the way, they're coached by the former Chicago Fire head coach, Velko Panovich. Leo Suarez makes it 3-0 for America, 42nd minute. Very timely goal right before halftime. Gut punch, 53rd minute, a fourth for America. Okay, so it's 4-0 in 53 minutes. Then an own goal and a Sergio Flores 72nd minute goal for Chivas. Kind of flattered them. It ends up 4-2. 53% possession for America and 47% for Chivas. Chivas had 21 shots, 3 on target. America, 18 shots, 7 on target. Barcelona-Real Madrid. Strange deflection early, 9 minutes in. Came off of Barcelona defender Ronald Araujo. I think it was Vinicius Jr. Goalkeeper was a couple inches off his line, or a couple feet off his line, right? And guys near the end line, takes a cross, deflects off the head of Araujo, and goes in. So Real Madrid go up in the 9th minute. Kind of a weird, strange kind of goal. That kind of set the early tone for Madrid, and this was at Barcelona. Sergio Roberto ties things up in the 45th. This looked destined to be 1-1, which would have suited Barcelona just fine at the top of the table. But they get a bonus, and they get a big bonus, and they get a lot of drama. Franck Kessié, stoppage time winner, not a guy who scores goals, now a 12-point lead for Barcelona at the top of La Liga over Real Madrid. 54% of the possession to Barcelona, more shots at 17 with 7 on target. All right, now, before we get on in the next segment at the North End Podcast's Zach Graham, let me talk a little Austin FC. And I repeated this a lot on the show, that this is going to be a very different year for Austin FC. Strictly because of the addition of competitions, differing things positionally, differing things from guys getting on in their careers. And again, if you look at the data from this match, one would assume that Austin FC was very much in this game. And they were in the beginning. A lot of the categories slightly favor Austin FC. But it was clear that at the end of this game, you have to say the Houston Dynamo were the better team. Disagree, you can call me, you can talk to me, 512-447-3776. 512-447-3776. Would love to get you on the air here tonight. So, The Dynamo were more alive and ready. I mean, how can they not be? They haven't played in 2 weeks. It's a home opener. They've taken a lot of criticism for an 0-2 start. You know, fans down in Houston, here we go again, that kind of stuff. And frankly, they should be, right? Stadium remodel, bunch of things different, and a lot at stake here because you wanted to send, if you're the Houston Dynamo, you want to send these fans home wanting more. You do not want to lose to Austin FC. And frankly, they're tired in Houston of hearing about Austin FC. Austin FC looked fatigued outside of the first 20 minutes for me. And like I said, if you're going to get something out of this game, you need an early goal to kind of sustain you, to give you a boost. The 0-2 Dynamo, you got to score the first goal of this game. And by the way, as much as, and I'm going to get into this in a second, Austin FC has a bit of a problem at the nine position right now. Right now. Doesn't mean it's not going to get corrected. So does Houston. Houston started Corey Baird. And this is for the head coach, Ben Olsen, basically for his movement, mobility, and work ethic. Corey Baird doesn't have a history of scoring a lot of goals. Their DP is Sebas Ferrer. He did not get the start. That's an interesting area to keep an eye on. Very similar to Austin FC, who's got Jozy Zardes, who's very familiar with Josh Wolf from Columbus. The system does a lot of other things. Maxi Arruti got the start in this one. He's been more effective off the bench, frankly. Got the game winner against Montreal. And then Will Bruin, who scored a boatload of goals in Major League Soccer, by the way, you know, rounds out the starting three. But you're going to have to get goals out of that position. And Josh Wolf mentioned after the game, others are going to have to score goals here and produce, not just Sebastian Driussi. Nothing wrong with that. He's correct. But the striker position right now is a question mark. You got to get goals from there. And yes, Arruti, Maxi Arruti can be the occasional starter, but maybe he's going to have to start more unless Jozy Zardes starts producing goals. And I don't know if this is by committee. I just don't believe in the goals by committee thing. I think you have to have somebody prowling around your penalty area in attack that is an absolute finisher and a killer and can stick balls in the back of the net. And I think it's problematic if that's the way you think about these things. Now, based on budgets and putting rosters together, it's not always easy to get these things done. I get it. Maxi Arruti, to me, is more effective off the bench. I think we saw that very, very clearly in the first couple of games. All right, so back to the game in Houston. Emiliano Rigoni, another one that has to produce. Him, Diego Fagundes, you got to get goals from him. John Gallagher has two, and he's an outside back for you. Those two guys were causing a lot of problems. And the reason I say that, as I'm calling this game on the radio, I'm not doing TV for MLS anymore, I'm doing radio. I'm lower to the field now in a very differing booth. It's a very differing look. There's pros and cons to it, but I'm not going to get into that because I don't think you really care. Those two are really causing problems, though. And I think Rigoni's chances early, you know, he doesn't strike the ball clean. He doesn't strike it well. They're really causing problems for the left side of the Dynamo, Tate Schmidt and Amin Bassi. And you could have had the game's first goal. Sebastian Driussi really was not involved that much in this one, which I think I said on the radio broadcast, when he's not involved, that's a scary thing because, you know, just as you say that, he'll pull off some spectacular play or open a game up with some spectacular ball or slip by a guy and score a goal himself or, you know, do something in transition to kill off, to help create a goal or, and get you back at a game. Hector Herrera Houston owned the night. He ended up on the MLS Team of the Week. But player performance, how much do you factor in fatigue and all these things? I think you have to be fair. But if you look at Diego Fagundes, he isn't off to the start I think he would want in 2023. Rigoni, everybody's, you know, he's going to need to execute sooner rather than later with the chances and a final pass. He's got to make it happen soon, I think for his own sake as well. Or that could snowball into you know, confidence issues, but I he needs something positive from that standpoint. And you question it right now. Is he capable of that? He certainly gets in good positions, but the pressure is definitely building for him from an individual standpoint. Not a great night for Alex Ring. Number of tired passes. That's usually a strength of his. So striker position is a question right now. Center back. Yes, we know Alex Ring can do this. Magnificent player. But when Cascante, Julio Cascante, comes back from injury, you're going to have choices to make. Danny Pereira, Owen Wolf, bring the MLS youthfulness. And or the future of the midfield. But you can't displace the importance of Alex Ring. All right, we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. We got more to come, including in our next segment. We're going to get a visit from Zach Graham of the North End Podcast. We'll continue the talk here. 512-447-3776. Show is presented, as always, by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. They'll handle your case. They'll work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Look, accidents are a problem. They're nervy. You get tremendously anxious. You need the best. You get DaspitLawAustin.com, whether it's car, boat, motorcycle, you drive an 18-wheeler, maybe you work construction, any of these issues, you get the best. It's DaspitLawAustin.com. Let's take a break here on the Horn. More Soccer Matters presented by DaspitLawAustin.com coming up. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on the Horn in Austin, Texas, presented by DaspitLawAustin.com. The call-in number 512-447-3776. Next up for Austin FC is Colorado Rapids. So back to Q2 Stadium, that's a good thing. That's Thin Lizzy, and that's a great choice. One of the great underrated bands. Ty, did you pull that Thin Lizzy?
I did. I thought you would like it.
Buddy, I love that. And, you know, it being St. Patrick's, recently, that's a really nice call on your part. That's an underrated band, no question about it. Thin Lizzy, great. Love that. You were trying to slide one by me, weren't you?
Yeah. I was to see if you noticed, and you did, so I appreciate it.
Yeah. By the way, say hello to my guy Wagner on the Wagner Wire. I know you're on with him every Sunday, and also quickly plug your show as well.
Definitely. You can the Wagner Wire every Sunday from 9 to 12. We'd love to have you on sometime, Glenn. That'd be awesome. And then my show, weekly podcast, The Lone Star Lowdown with me, Shea Holt, and Corey Guidry. You can find that on any podcast platform out there, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Yeah.
Talented man, Ty Henderson. Thank you so much, Ty, for that. Okay, a couple of things here. I want to remind you real quick before we get to our next guest. We have Fabian Hertzeller, the FC St. Pauli manager from Bundesliga 2, coming up in the final segment. Also, Austin FC fans, I got two shades of green for you. Soccer Matters t-shirts, you get them at LamontBrands.com. LamontBrands.com. The proceeds, after the cost of putting the shirts together by the company, they go to the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation to fight pediatric cancer. Okay, U.S. getting ready for Nations League. FA Cup semifinals are set. Man City, Sheffield United, Manchester United, Brighton. Erling Haaland is going on a goal-scoring tear. And Lazio defeated Roma in the Eternal Rome Derby. All right. The North End Podcast. At the North End Podcast. That's where you get it on Twitter. He's Zach Graham. He joins us now. Zach, thank you so much for coming on.
Appreciate you having me, Glenn. I will also second that I enjoyed the Thin Lizzy coming back from break. And definitely wish I was coming to you that we were chatting about Austin FC after a more positive week. But it is what it is, man.
Yeah, listen, MLS is full of ups and downs, right? I mean, Austin FC had more ups and downs last year. I mean, it was a remarkable season. What's the reality of the fan base, in your opinion? You're around it a little bit more than me. I mean, I can see things on social media. We got some people in crisis mode. We got others just saying, calm down. You know, where do you fit in there?
I am very much in the let's have a positive perspective on this. Like, I get the negativity to a point, but to your point in the first segment, there is a large segment of the fan base that, in my mind, is overreacting to the unfortunate start to the season. And I think, like, it is certainly okay to be embarrassed, let down, and a little angry over the way the first round of CCL went down. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, if you're not going to win CCL, if you're a team like Austin with certainly not as much depth as a team like the Sounders last year had to be able to take down a competition like that, you may want to lose earlier and be able to focus on the rest of this long season ahead. Because I think with that Houston match on Saturday, you pointed to maybe some fatigue there for the Verde and Black. If we're already seeing that fatigue set in and cause a lackluster performance in a rivalry match, then to me, that's a great example of why the fans should not be so beat up about the team going out early in that competition. I'm of the mind that CCL is the most important trophy that Austin could have competed for this year, but I also didn't think they really had the depth, again, to get that done. So do I wish they would have advanced just from my fandom point of view? Yes. But if we're looking at it from that wide view, we have so much more coming over the next 6-7 months, and I think the team will be fine. And again, I'm just more, maybe foolishly, just kind of having a positive outlook on things, especially in the face of some of the wild takes like, Josh Wolf out, ludicrous.
I've heard that one. Well, that's funny because I've said repeatedly on this show, Josh Wolf out in the first year. And as I've said over a million times on this program, I said, you know, I saw for first year principles of play being instituted by this coach. Maybe you didn't have the right pieces yet. And then, of course, it all came together. But as a team in transition and their approach play in year one, it was good. Now, their defensive play in transition was not very good, and it was like a hot knife to butter. But I want to go back to what you said about the CONCACAF. I mean, look, we're in all these things to win them, though. I don't think we can be selective, whether we think we have the roster or not. You earned the right to play in the CONCACAF Champions League, so you have to go out there and try to win it. And I understand what you're saying. You're saying you'd rather see them go out early than get maybe to the semifinals and battle a Mexican team. I'm not sure I would agree with that theory.
I think it's – maybe I'm twisting my own words around here. I think it's just –
because, I mean, Zach, players are never going to go into games with that type of a mindset. Now, I don't know what happened down – in the Dominican Republic. I don't know if it was just an underestimation of the Haitians.
I think that was very
much the case.
It's
got to be a part of it. And, you know, that's on the coach and the players.
Absolutely. And we certainly gave both the coaching staff and the players that were out there in the Dominican some flack, or as much flack as we possibly could have, because I was much more disappointed by the first leg than the outcome of the second leg. I'm really approaching this with the hindsight that we have now, that so I definitely did not want them to go out as a fan. But now looking at it as a franchise as a whole, if we're going to go out, like you said, if it's the semifinals or even making the final, like, that would be great experience for everybody on this roster, especially the young guys who don't have any CCL experience. If this is a club that has plans to be in that competition year after year. But to get back there, you know, if you get to the semis, you get to the finals, you don't get back in next year, right? Even if you win it, there's no automatic berth. You see Seattle didn't even qualify for this one despite winning the competition last year. So if we want to get back, I think having those fresher legs and not having potentially 6 more CCL matches to deal with, and then if you go far enough, overlapping with any U.S. Open Cup games that they can win and hopefully advance there. I understand the frustration, and I'm not trying to say that the players or the staff or any, or the fans should have a mindset that we don't want to win those games. I think, again, just maybe being a little overly optimistic, it could be a blessing in disguise for the team's MLS hopes to go out in that competition so early, as bad as it feels for the fans and the players. I mean, I think not just the physical fatigue on Saturday night in Houston, I think also the mental fatigue of that team just in that locker room, losing that match. And then we know that these guys are all over social media, watching what people say on Twitter and Instagram and listening to, you know, shows like Soccer Matters. So I think those guys were really beaten down emotionally and mentally.
Yeah, when I say, and when I say fatigue, that when I say it, yes, emotional and physical. It's not just physical, because mentally I've been there. I've sat in locker rooms before playing at the pro level, and I've said to myself, I don't know what I have tonight, you know. And some nights you go out there and somehow you find it, and other nights you don't. I think what disappointed me maybe in the Dominican Republic is when others get an opportunity to play, you want them to perform well and produce for you. But let's switch gears to the Houston game. How about your overall thoughts on that one? Did you travel to Houston?
I unfortunately did not. I was actually so, and going back to, you know, Wolf out and how against that I am, maybe I'm a little soft on the coaches because I was a collegiate basketball coach for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually out at a bachelor party for one of my old coaching buddies, so I wasn't able to make it out to Houston. I am going to be there with my co-host Ian in late May for the rematch, the one that, you know, counts for Copa Tejas. But yeah, man, it's a rivalry match, and any time Houston, Austin, Dallas, even in that Copa Tejas, you know, triangle there in Texas, any team that comes out on the wrong side of any of those matches, players and fans alike are going to feel pretty down about it the next week.
Yeah. So the first 20 minutes, how did you feel about the way Austin FC was playing against the Dynamo? Because from my vantage point where I was doing radio, which was right in front of me, Rigoni and John Gallagher were really, really getting at the Houston Dynamo. What about your thoughts there? And we may need to make this quick because we got about a minute left.
Sure, I can do that real quick. We talked about it on the podcast episode last night. The relationship that Gallagher and Rigoni are building on that right side looks really promising, especially in a time that a lot of fans don't feel like they have a lot of promising things to look to. Especially one play there in like the 12th minute where Rigoni readjusted into some space and got into the box, didn't finish, which is obviously a theme with him. I also thought Kolmanich's crossing from the left in the first 20 to 30 minutes was better than we've seen from him a lot of the time so far this season. And that created that one Maxi Arruti chance that he unfortunately put off the post. So first 20 minutes was great. Rest of the match, you know, a letdown for sure.
Yeah, not so much. Impressed with Hector Herrera and what he did?
Absolutely. And to that end, I thought Johan Valencia showed his shortcomings on the offensive side of the ball, but really helped the team lock down Herrera for that first 60 minutes. And you saw once he went out, Ace was really unleashed and got his first MLS goal. And man, props to them. Houston was the better team on the night. And as hard as it is for me to say this as a diehard Austin fan, happy for the Houston fans to, get one in this rivalry, which has been one-sided so far.
Zach, thank you very much for coming on. He's at the North End Podcast. It is Zach Graham. Zach, thanks so much for coming on tonight. We appreciate your insight. We'll do it again.
Appreciate it, Glenn. Thank you.
All right. So great stuff there from Zach Graham. You heard he was a college basketball coach as well. Enjoyed having him on, and he came on short notice, so it's really good. We're going to continue to get people like Zach on who really live and breathe Austin FC. All right, DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. They're bilingual. You can hit me up on Twitter and Instagram, at GlendaveSock, at SoccerMattersGD, LamontBrands.com for your Soccer Matters T-shirts and hats. Proceeds to fight pediatric cancer go to the 501c charity, the Snowdrop Foundation. When we come back, it's FC St. Pauli manager Fabian Hurseller. Welcome back to Soccer Matters on the Horn in Austin, Texas, to our final segment of the night tonight. The show, as always, is brought to you by DaspitLawAustin.com. If you need a personal injury attorney, there is none better than John Daspit and Daspit Law Austin. Let the Daspit Law Firm fight for your right for compensation. You might get in a boat, motorcycle accident, drive an 18-wheeler, work construction. Get the best in representation. DaspitLawAustin.com. 512-865-6710, 512-865-6710. They are bilingual. One of the great stories in German football right now is in the Bundesliga 2, where St. Pauli has now won 8 matches in a row under a new manager. They are the hottest team in Bundesliga 2, currently 5th in the table. Now, what's unique about this is that the new coach is American-born. He's 30 years of age. Fabian Husserler joins me now. Well, Fabian, you replace a head coach that's kind of a legend at St. Pauli and Timo Schulz as a very young man. When you initially got approached about the job, what went through your mind?
Yeah, at first I want to say that I had a really good time with Timo Schulz, the head coach in former times before me, and I was his assistant coach, and I really liked to work with him. We had a really good time with a lot of nice events, with a lot of nice games, so I really appreciate working with him. And yeah, when a club asked me to get, at first, like the interim coach, so at first the club asked me to take over as an interim coach, and I said, of course, yes, because I think I have the responsibility for the success of the club. So I'm in a position, or I was in a position, to help the club. And if the club asked me, of course, I said yes, because, like I said, I'm in a position to help them. And I was not thinking about, okay, do I feel prepared for the situation, or do I feel prepared as a person for this tough situation? I didn't think about this too much because I was really in my working mode. So I start working immediately. I try to analyze a lot of things with my staff and with my coaching team. So we analyzed what can we do better, what can we improve. And so we get in a working mode like really fast. So I can't think about the situation too much.
He's Fabian Husserler, the head coach of St. Pauli in the German Bundesliga 2. He's only 30 years old. And, you know, to go from an assistant coach where, you know, your role is very different to being a head coach and now being the man with the ultimate decision, I can't think that's an easy thing to do. How did you handle that?
Yeah, my first speech to the team was that I said to them, okay, I'm still Fabian, so I won't change. My character won't change because I want to be authentic, and I won't change my personality. So, of course, I had a really good relationship to them and also a very trustful relationship. And I think at the first weeks, it helps me a lot because we had a lot of discussions also with the players, also with the experienced players, and we were really honest to each other. So I told them, I know that you feel a bit like it's not a typical situation for them. Now I'm the head coach. I was the assistant coach. So it's also for them not an easy situation. But I think the best way to deal with it was to be honest with them and to talk about their thoughts. What do they feel? What's their thinking about the situation? And so we had quite very trustful and very honest discussions with each other. And it helps us a lot. And yes, I didn't change. But the only thing what changed was that I'm now the coach. I'm the person who makes decisions and who also has to make hard decisions for some players. And I also told them, so my acting was really honest. So I was honest to them. I said, okay, I'm still Fabian, but I'm now the coach who makes tough decisions, and it might hurt some of you, but you have to deal with it. And yeah, that was the first ways and the first actings what I did at the beginning.
He's Fabian Husserler. He's the head coach of St. Pauli. This is a wonderful opportunity for us. you know, you got to manage a whole roster now. I would imagine you had a lot of experience dealing with players that weren't getting into the first team, that had challenges, that had desires that were getting unfulfilled. So I would think that's good preparation for managing an entire roster.
No, so I think that, of course, I had in my former times, I had good experience in different clubs. So I started in a very unprofessional club called Pippenried. It was here in Germany and near to Munich. It's a real unprofessional club. It was in the fifth division and we made it to the fourth division. But I worked with players who worked beside playing soccer. So that was my first experience. The second experience was that I trained with youth kids. So I also worked for a school camp, a football school camp. And I worked with like 6 years old children, with 10 years old children. And this also was a really good experience for me as a coach, yeah, to deal with young children, to look at their behaviors, to see what do they need and what is their motivation. And this helps me also a lot to deal with the players now. And afterwards, I was I worked for the German Association as an under-20 assistant coach. And of course, German Association, very, very professional. So high standards, very good players, the best of Germany in their youth or in their age. And there was also experience to see how really professional players work. So how also is it to be in a professional team? Big stuff, a lot of stuff to handle a big team, because to handle the stuff is also a very important thing or important the job a coach has to do. So I got a lot of experience from different ages, from different standards. And then I worked here for Sao Paulo 2.5 years as an assistant coach. So yeah, I got experiences from all different areas, and it helps me a lot. But I won't say that I have a clear. I think you can't deal with players in the same way. So they're all different characters, and you have to treat them like individuals, and you have to get behind the players, because behind the players they're all like persons, and you have to know what each person needs. And I think that's the best way to describe my way to deal with the players or to treat them as persons, yes.
I'm sure you're probably tired of hearing everybody say you're a young coach, because you just exemplified all the practice that you've put into place. But there is a good question, and that is, you know, why and when, I guess, when did you decide you wanted to get into the management, the coaching side of it? How early? Was that something you kind of knew pretty early?
I think yes. So when I was a player, I always was a player who take a lot of responsibility. I was a captain almost in every team. And that's why I had a special connection to my coaches. And I watched the game from a different point of view. I reflect the game from a different point of view, not only as a player, also like in discussions with my former coaches. So I discussed with them, how was the game? How do you see it? How do you see the dynamics of the game? And that was really interesting for me. So I started this really early, and that's why I wouldn't say that it surprised me to get a coach. But of course, actually, it was planned. I planned to be a professional soccer player. And I ended my career then I was 20, 21, 22. So it was clear for me, my passion is soccer. Yeah, and it's my hobby, and I can do it to my job. So it fits perfectly. So yeah, I'm really happy to work in a soccer business, because yeah, it's my passion and I want to do it my whole life.
Fabian Herzeller, he's the head coach of St. Pauli in Germany. You know, for my listeners, Fabian, I know of St. Pauli for a long time, but talk to them about how important the club is in the city, the passion, the amount of fans you get, and then take that into, does that make you feel pressure and a responsibility to deliver?
So I don't feel pressure. I think I put pressure on my own, or the pressure I put on my own is the maximum you can have. So I don't feel pressure from outside. It doesn't reach the level I put on my own. So that's why I know there's a lot of responsibility. I know it because it's a really, really huge club in Germany. It has a high impact in the social media also here. In not only in Hamburg, it's I think it's also international, and especially in Germany. And yeah, it's a big club, so of course there's responsibility. But I don't feel that I have to deliver for anybody. I have the feeling that I have to deliver for the club, because the club is the most important thing, and I deliver for the success of the club, and that's what I try to focus on, because in soccer you can't influence everything. You can't influence everything. There are so many things where you can't expect or you can't plan them. So you have to focus on these things, what you can influence on the pitch. And I try to do a lot of content with the team and to keep working on it. And one thing I think what a special, yeah, for us, for your listeners, is that Sampaoli is a club with very important values, also, yeah, in the society. So, for example, they bring politics in the stadium. So they were one of the first clubs to bring it to the stadium and know it, that it's a stage to bring these values to the people here in the world, or to the people in Germany. So, for example, against racism, against sexism. So these are things where I also can identify with, because I also think that's very important to stand together, or to do, or to make and to bring attention to these values. And I think St. Pauli does this very nice, so I can completely identify with this.
Fabian Hurzeler, he's the head coach of St. Pauli in Germany. It's a Bundesliga 2. They're undefeated since he took over. Look, you took over at a tough time. You know, a legendary person in the club loses his job. You take over at a tough time. Confidence is an important potion. It's something that we all want to acquire, but it's not always easy to acquire. How did you rebuild that with the group of players once you took over?
I think that's one of the most important things in soccer. I just read an article where Sir Alex Ferguson said that 80% happens in the head. And I think that's absolutely true. So I started, like I said, you have to know the players very well. You have to know their characters very well. And then you have to bring them back their trust in their own strengths, their trust in their own weapons. And that was one of the biggest things. So I tried to convince them that they are still good. They had high expectations, or they have high expectations on their own. And they can't do this in the first part of the season. So, of course, the confidence was low. But my job was to rebuild this. So I worked with a lot of them in an individual way. So I showed them training scenes. I showed them scenes where they did it well in the past, and I keep working with them on the pitch or every day. So it was always like working on the pitch and show them afterwards scenes and show them positive scenes and talk to them like positive. Don't talk to them negative. Try to focus on the momentum and not on the past. So we see it also like a challenge that we can't made the expectations from the club or from their own, but we see it as a challenge. And like this, I said it also to them. So it was a big, big thing to bring back to the players their confidence, because like I said, it's like footballers 80% in the head, and it was very important. And the other side was, of course, that we did a reanalysis of the season. And of course, we have a lot of content where we can work on it. And that's what I said, that I went immediately in the work mode. So we did a lot of content at the beginning where to improve. And I think it's also that we weren't fixed on the results. I also said to my team, keep on focusing on the process. Don't try to focus too much on the results, because if you keep focusing on the process, the results will come. And if we say we must win and we must score goals, then it won't happen. If we focus on the process and we focus on the content, what we want to train and where we want to improve, then I think then the results will come.
Thank you for tuning in tonight to Soccer Matters on the Horn in Austin, Texas, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com. Get the podcast of this show and all the other great programming on the Horn at HornFM.com. Please check out LamontBrands.com for Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats to benefit the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation. By the way, Austin FC fans, we have two shades of green. For those that have purchased, thank you. You can hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at GlenDavisSoc or GlenDavisSoccer.com. Thanks for tuning in tonight. And remember, soccer matters.